Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Brand new way to not only listen to us, but to watch us on twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app and follow ESPN 1000. Chicago, it's all brought to you by Rep's Place in Rolling Meadows and our great friends at Miller Lite. It's awesome, not only the way you can do it on the app, but if you're at home, you're working from home these days, as more of us are, just put it up on one of your screens on your computer, one of your windows, and you can watch and you can interact with other great ESPN 1000 listeners. And congratulations also today to Jonathan Hood and David Kaplan and the entire crew with Zetterman and Meller and J.R. Strauss. Today was day one, very successful day for the brand new local morning show.
Well done, fellas.
Every morning, 7 a.m., we'll play you some of the Theo Epstein interview that they had from earlier today. We're all excited, too. Last night, we have more late-night hockey to look forward to. Tomorrow, another 9:30 puck drop, and the Blackhawks extended the series as they were down 0-3. Corey Crawford stood on his head, and the Blackhawks survived game four yesterday. Eddie Olczyk was on the call. He celebrated a birthday yesterday, and he joins us on the Corona hotline right now. Happy belated, Eddie.
Hey.
Tommy. Hey, Sylvie Stone, man. I can't see your pal day to day. All right, man. How you feeling?
Feeling great.
Good.
Were you able to celebrate a birthday in Connecticut while doing lots of hockey?
No, I did not. Actually, the lovely and talented Diana Olczyk of 32 years, my lovely wife, we celebrated prior to my departure to Connecticut. And then I flew home yesterday and had about 2.5 hours to do what I needed to do, and then get in the car and head down to the United Center and share a truck with the great Pat Foley and be able to do the game from the United Center. And that's the plan for tomorrow night. So it was a quiet birthday, but very, very thankful to have the opportunity, and looking forward to hopefully another big performance from Corey Crawford as we had last night, because as I said at the end of the broadcast, he was the first, second, and third star of that game. He was the Corey Crawford I think I've pretty much seen since I've been sitting in that chair at the United Center. I mean, yeah, he's had some, you know, like every other athlete, every other player, every other goaltender, you're going to have tough stretches. But the last time I checked, the resume is pretty damn good, and the guy's won a couple of cups, All-Star, Jennings Trophy, I mean, you name it. And last night we saw it with some 94, 95 shot attempts at the Blackhawk net, and Crow was just brilliant and gave them an opportunity to stay alive and be ready for a game five tomorrow night.
Eddie, it's pretty understandable that he has been inconsistent, isn't it? Beyond, you know, the fact that these guys had this enormous layoff, but then he dealt with having the coronavirus.
Sure.
So
yeah.
to say he's been a little uneven is probably somewhat expected a little, isn't it?
Well, I mean, also, too, Tommy, and you add into that, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not sure if a lot of people realize, I mean, since the pause back in the middle of March, I have not spoken to Corey. So, again, I'm just going on what I know is that he wasn't on ice a lot since the middle of March. And, you know, he came back to Chicago a little bit late because he was battling the virus, as you mentioned, and he had a couple of practices. He had a half of exhibition game, and then it was like, okay, this is for keeps. And they faced a team at Edmonton who, look at, I mean, they couldn't check their hat. I mean, they were awful. I mean, they were awful defensively, and the Hawks out-defended them. And that was one of my keys, is which team, because look, the strength of the Blackhawks is not their defense, you know, like their overall team defense. It's not their strength. Their strength certainly is their goaltender, and we saw that last night. But at least Crow got a chance to play in those games. And, yeah, maybe he's given up some soft goals. They can't argue that, for sure. But everything plays into that. The inactivity, and then getting the virus and not getting the training camp, so-called on time, and rightfully so. But look it, I mean, the guy at times has had to be worldly because of the chances that the Blackhawks have given up, and they found a way to win a game and see if Crow can do it again. And what made yesterday's game, and shame on me for not mentioning it even more so during the broadcast and after having watched the game this morning, like, to be able to perform like that in a matter of 22 hours because they played back-to-back in right. Game 3 and in Game 4, like, wow. That even more so to me is as impressive as it was. You add that onto it. That was just brilliant. It was a brilliant performance, and he gives the Hawks an opportunity to breathe one more time.
Real quick, Eddie, am I right by suggesting that the guys in front of him did a better job with blocking shots as well at times?
Well, Vegas had the puck. They had it a lot. So if they didn't block the shots, they might have had 120 attempts at the net, and they might have had 65 shots on goal in a regulation game. They did. But Vegas, look at them. Territorially, I would just say, I didn't look at the numbers, but I would say offensive zone attack time for, when it's in either goaltender zone, I would imagine it was probably 80-20 in favor of Vegas. So, yes, to answer your question, look, you had guys selling out. It's something we're going to talk about tomorrow night in our open before the game on NBC Sports Chicago. And, we're going to talk about that because it's such an important part of the game. And, yeah, it was, you need it. And when you're in desperation mode, Tommy, you know it, you've seen it, you've lived it. When, your year is on the line, guys are going to do whatever they can, whether it's in their DNA or not. At least you hope so anyways, like they're going to sell out. And I think when you're blocking shots like that, it's twofold. You love the guys selling out and doing what they're supposed to do because it's playoff hockey. But then also you sit there and the reality is, okay, well, they're blocking a lot of shots because they don't have the puck a lot, and right. Obviously that's a concern.
Eddie, there was a good conversation between Carman and Yurko this morning about Crawford's future with the team as a free agent. Right. And you may ask him to take a hometown discount. He may not want to take one. And with where the Hawks are salary cap-wise, they don't have a ton of room. So are you worried about his future with the Blackhawks?
Well, I think there's a lot there because, again, I mean, what is the plan? What is the future with what you have, the contracts that you have? The salary cap is going to stay pretty much flat here for the next couple of years. You got guys' contracts, going to the next level. In particular, Alex DeBrincat is going to get a major, major raise here with the contract extension he signed. You got some guys coming up. These are obviously tough decisions, but I've said it with you guys for the last 10 or 12 years. Like, the reality is that if you don't get it, and that's goaltending, you're not going to win. And think about how good the Blackhawk goaltending was during the regular season. Like, if you look at the numbers, if you just strictly looked at the goaltending numbers with Robin Leonard and Corey Crawford, you would look at their numbers and go, wow, it's a top 10 team in NHL. And that's not what the Hawks were during the regular season. So the goaltending was really good. And imagine where the Hawks might have been if they didn't get that goaltending. So in saying that, who else do you have? And you're right. You can't, in my opinion, if you're asking me to make that decision, I don't think that you can go ahead and pay Crow what he's making or he has been making here the last 4 or 5 years. You can't, because you have, in my opinion, you have other holes that you have to fill, and then also you have to sign some other guys. So look at, is Crow willing to sign for a couple of years at half the money? That'll be obviously his decision. But another thing to play into it, this summer, if you're looking for a free agent goaltender, or you're looking to get a goaltender, there are going to be a lot of guys out there. I mean, there are a few. Look at Robin Leonard's a free agent. Corey Crawford's a free agent. Jacob Markstrom in Vancouver is a free agent. It looks like Matt Murray, a two-time Stanley Cup winning goaltender in Pittsburgh, even though he's got some term on his contract, he's going to be on his way out. And I know I'm missing another one or two guys. Braden Holtby in Washington. So I just gave you some pretty damn good goaltenders out there. And look at, and when Crow plays the way he does, I would certainly look at him and go, he's my guy. But again, he's a little bit older. He's 35. Got a lot of tread on the tire. But, you know, can you look at it from an organizational point of view and go, you know, where are we? You know, where were we? Where are we? And where in the hell are we trying to get to? And if Crow is the guy, then I think it's going to have to be, obviously, at a much lower number. And if not, if he's going to go ahead and get paid, and look at rightfully so, then you're going to have to, you know, fill that need, because I just don't know if you have a guy in the system that's going to be able to come in and play that, you know, 45, 50 games and give yourself a chance to, you know, to get back to where you want to, because seventh place in a 7-team division before the pause is not going to cut it. And you got to get goaltending, and the Hawks certainly got that for the majority of the year.
Eddie, so now what in this series? Okay, they survived the barrage that came from the Golden Knights. They kept this series alive. Tomorrow and going forward, do they have enough left in the tank to keep this thing going?
Oh, I think they do, because now there's a belief here that, you know, you can find a way to win. If I was sitting in that locker room, or if I'm selling as a coach to this team and say, look, we didn't play very well, but we're still in this series. So, you know what, let's give ourselves a chance by playing well. And look, the Hawks may play as well as they can, and it may not be good enough. But when you look at what transpired last night, and look, there were some stretches where I love the start. I love the mindset. The defense were pinching in. You had, you know, Olli Maatta down below the goal line and making a great pass to Kujula for the first goal of the game. That's how you're going to play Vegas. That's how, look at if you're going to give up chances, you might as well go down on your toes, because I think that's part of the Blackhawks' success, is when their defensemen really are active and jumping in. And again, you got to know who's on the ice. You can't, you know, you can't take chances. You can't be predictable, right? You can't just go run and punt. Like, you got to be able to, every once in a while, you got to throw on first down. You got to throw on second down. You got to change it up. And, you know, I think last night at the start, I think Vegas wasn't, I don't say they weren't ready for it, but the Hawks played the way that I think we all expect them to play. And they did that for the first, you know, I think 5 or 6 minutes. And yeah, there was some one and done, but I love the active defense. I mean, Olli Maatta has played tremendous. He really has. I mean, what, he have 16 or 17 points in the regular season? And this guy's got, I think he's got, you know, he's got 3 goals, 3 apples so far, and is an integral part of this team right now offensively. So just play better. Let's play better up front, right? Let's give our guy a breather back there, right? Let's make sure we have the puck a little bit more. Let's play some offense and see what happens. And as I said last night before the broadcast, the goal is let's be even our head after the first period. And that may be cliche and that may be boring, but you don't want to chase the game, because when the Hawks have chased the games, it hasn't worked out very well.
Eddie, as I sit at home trying to teach my oldest son a little hockey stuff, I look at some of the keys that Waddle and I talk about. And, you know, when we break down hockey, it's
like
really
anybody,
gets deep.
Unlike anybody else.
Unlike anybody else.
All I know, when I listen to you guys, when I hear you guys, I just think of a surgeon with a scalpel. That's what I think.
That's exactly what it is.
Stabbing himself over and over again.
Right.
I didn't say what he was doing with the scalpel.
A surgeon after hours after he had 6 scotches,
yeah,
maybe.
There you go.
But like, here's the thing. I said to my son, I said, it's one thing if you suck on the power play. It's another thing if you keep giving up shorthanded goals on the power play. So my key to a victory for the Blackhawks is, if you're not going to score on the power play, just don't give up a goal on the power play.
You
know what I mean? It's driving me insane, Eddie, and it brings up the old joke, should the Blackhawks just start declining the penalty?
I'm going to go on the other side of the. I'm going to go on the other side of the lawn with this one. Look at that. Since the pause, the unit that Jeremy Colliton put together with Kane and Taves and Kubalik and Keith, and giving Kirby Doc an opportunity to go out there, and I think that's really helped Kirby's confidence in these playoffs. I've liked what I've seen. Now, look at you're going to have tough games. You're going to have tough, you know, you're going to have tough power plays, but the worst thing is, and I know where you're going with this, Sylvie, is that, I mean, it is a momentum drainer when you don't, you know, when you can't get the puck in, or you're giving up chances back the other way, right, or, you know, it's one and done, and then you skate 200 feet back, and, you know, I played long enough, and I was on plenty of power plays that, you know, you killed the momentum, and yeah, you'd like to sit there and, you know, as a team sometimes, look at when I was coaching in Pittsburgh, I mean, there were times when we got a power play and I just called the referee over some older veteran referees and I just said, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but there's been a rule change here. I can decline this penalty for us, the power play. So if that's okay with you, and then they look at me like I had seven heads, you know, and I just give them a quick little wink. It's like you just know it sometimes when you go out there on a power play, you're not going to score. Like it's just it's a mindset. But then if you do get one chance and all of a sudden one leads to two, and I've liked this power play a lot, Sylvie. It's found a confidence. It's found an identity. Now, look, it, like I said, last night, yeah, some missed opportunities, some bad passes. I think I said to Pat last night, you know what, they got to get a little honey for their sticks here. You got to put a little honey on those blades, and maybe they'll be able to hold on to those pucks a little bit, you know, a little bit more when the opportunities present itself. So power play is huge. Yeah, look, if you're not going to create, you can't give up the other way. But I like the unit that Jeremy's put together here, and hopefully they can kind of find their game again. It's all about adjustments. It is. And you have to play against Edmonton. So they have the idea of what you're doing. So now if they start taking away A, B, and C, do you have the wherewithal? Do you have the ability to ad-lib out there? And the Blackhawks guys can do that. It's to go find the holes that are open. Because if you just keep going to A, B, and C, A, B, and C, you're going to see what ends up happening. So, yeah, it could get frustrating at times. But I would just say this. I liked how this power play looked. And, again, I think they've got something there. And hopefully they can find a way to gain some confidence.
I was going to say, overall, Eddie is a hockey lifer. You've got to be like a pig and you know what, watching game after game after game after game. It's been glorious, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like when I was in Connecticut there working for NBC and doing the studio work and then doing some games remotely. Understanding, you know, the world we're living in, we're all living in it. And obviously, the life's matters of what's going on outside of the pandemic, and especially in our city. And we're just trying to entertain, Tommy. You know, that's what we're trying to do, with the understanding of, you know, it's very, very small on the big picture in the world. But it's been fun to be a part of it. And every time you turn on a TV, I mean, there's hockey on, and they're important games. But I think the league has just done, you know, I think the league has done a masterful job here. I mean, the leadership of the commissioner, Mr. Bettman, and Bill Daly, and everybody involved. I mean, not just because of, you know, knock on wood, the zero test and the 22,000 that they've taken, or whatever the number is, I think the presentation, I think the entertainment value, with the understanding is that, you know, there are a lot of people out there that just want to get away from the real world for a couple of hours. Or if you are a hockey junkie, you're watching hockey from noon until 1 o'clock at night. And it's been a lot of fun, and hopefully people can feel the energy coming from us on the broadcast, and me in particular, whether we're doing the Hawk games or, you know, we're doing a national game.
Well, I mean, you're the best there is. And then you're working with like two of the best play-by-play guys in any sport, with Foley locally and Doc, of course, nationally. So you guys are bringing it, and we love everything you do, Eddie. So happy belated, and thanks for everything that you do.
Thanks, Eddie.
We love you guys. Keep up the awesome work, and Sylvie strong, and praying for you every day. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys sooner than later, and we'll see what the Hawks can drum up for tomorrow night in Game 5 on NBC Sports Chicago. We got a big pregame show, and then Pat and I will have the call at 9:30. So get a little nap in, and hopefully everybody will be able to stay up tomorrow.
No nap necessary. None.
Thanks for having me, boys. Talk
see
to you soon.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thanks,
right,
Eddie.
Bye.
There he is. Eddie Olczyk, he is absolutely awesome. So if you want to weigh in on what you saw from the Hawks, can they win this other game? Like, to me, I look back to that game, too, and I want to bring that up coming up next. We've got Waddle's World. Then we've got some of the Theo interview at 4 o'clock. There's football to discuss today.
Wow.
The Bears are actually having a real training camp practice, or at least as close to one as we've had so far. 332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
So it was a fun Sunday because you had, I mean, the Cubs and the White Sox both playing. Mixed results there. And then you had the Blackhawks game, and the Blackhawks were able to get that game four. I was listening to Bleck and Abdallah's recap, and both those guys start at 6, but they're on with us every day, 2 to 6. So you get Bleck and Abdallah, 2 to 6.
They're actually both laying down right now, napping because of their big show.
No.
They're
prepping.
Are you kidding me? We're young. We're young. 8 o'clock ain't no thing.
You don't want these Badgers and Wolverines coming at you?
You're mid-30s. You're not young. Young is like 20.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Listen, it goes by quick. I mean, I used to be a young gun at the radio station.
No, I get it. But we're also young enough where 8 o'clock ain't no thing. But also, like, on Saturday night, like, I'm going in.
That even sounds old. 8 o'clock ain't no thing. That even sounds old.
Well, yeah, if you say it like that.
Yeah, when you say it like that.
That's how you said it. You didn't say it with any type of rhythm or hipness.
I didn't say it like, look at the big buildings over there and a lake to our right. It ain't no thing. Like, that's how you said it.
Right, I'm old.
It rolls off my tongue.
Say it again.
8 o'clock ain't no thing.
That's not how you said it last time.
It's one word.
Talking sports for 6 hours is not the, like...
Well, for me, that's a thing.
Yeah. You know, we could be doing some tougher stuff.
Yes.
There's tougher work to be done. The six-hour marathon shift.
Grab a shovel and start digging.
But I was listening to you guys Thursday coming back from Mason's baseball game. And, like, that was the day that I was the most upset about the Blackhawks, is the game... I know they're overmatched. I know Vegas is the better team. It shows every single game. But, like, to me, that game two, I think it was game two Thursday, that was the one that they should have gotten. They came back.
The one they lost in overtime?
Overtime, yes.
And they looked good in the second period, right?
Yeah, and that was, like, didn't they hit a bunch of posts in that game too? Like that, and Cole Crawford, I think, let up a couple of bad. That was the game to me that we could have easily been talking about a 2-2 series here.
Okay, I'm not going to be able to give you much breakdown of any of the teams in the league, much less
sell it,
the Blackhawks.
Why don't you?
I'm just telling you though. But when I look at the Golden Knights, they are better than our team collectively, but I can't imagine. I'm saying that my point is I can't believe that that's one of the better offensive crews at the top of the list in the NHL. They've been better than us, but like.
You're not wowed by them, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Is that fair that I'm not wowed by them? That was a roundabout way for me to say, yeah, I'm not that wild. You know, listen, don't get me wrong. It's like the Cubs. Cubs are getting to the postseason. Cubs are good, but can the Cubs win a title? I mean, I know the Golden Knights have been really good.
The Golden Knights have been there, yeah.
I get it, but I mean, like, are there some better?
Waddle, it's a fair point just because in the playoffs, Vegas is second in goals per game. The regular
last night
season
was last night was the first game they've lost since things turned back on, right?
Yeah, in the regular season, they were 13th. So, like, you do have, something to that.
I see my eyes are trained. I've trained hockey eyes.
There you go. So don't sell yourself short.
Yeah.
Jake and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you guys doing? A long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
We appreciate it, Jake. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, you know, it's funny enough, it was my birthday yesterday, and it was a great birthday present seeing the Hawks move forward last night, so thank goodness. I'm really becoming a huge fan of Kirby Doc. Like, you know, in this postseason, he's like watching a superhero movie montage when the hero starts to learn that he has powers. So really impressive there. That guy has a bright future ahead of him. I'm just going to make this quick. I agree with you guys. Like, you know, this win was all Crow. Very good first period, one lucky goal. But all counts in hanging on Crow out the rest of the way. It's what happens when, you know, we have... Like, you know, if we have one of the weakest defense to ever step on the ice and they don't hit anyone, like, you know, they can win an occasional game like that, but as a series, it's going to be very difficult. I'm really glad that we're going to see another game. But what we really need to hope for is some very smart off-season moves to fix this defensive nightmare. But I'm still looking forward to the next game. So that's all I have to say, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, Jake. Thanks, Jake. And that's the trick box with Bowman. A lot of people thought Bowman would be out, but the way that the Wirtz family is talking about, he's back. And maybe a lot of the problems that has illed this franchise will continue to bother them because there may not be a change at leadership. Will there be a change at coach? We'll see. But Kirby Doc is Kirby Dach's the real deal.
Yeah, there are a lot of things to be excited about, but there are some things that need to be cleaned up, for sure.
They need one of those games where Patrick Kane scores a couple of goals. DeBrincat continues to get shots on net like he did this last game. He's right. You can't survive or count on another miraculous Crow win like that. You have to balance it out with some of the scoring of your own, and some of your stars have to have one of their star-type games to make this 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, Kane, prior to last night, was involved in a lot of the goals that were scored, but he has yet to put it in the basket himself in this series, right?
Right, he said assist numbers.
Yeah.
But 3-1, and he missed that. What was it? It was a dunk. I equated it to good. Him missing a dunk with the open net.
Good analogy, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that did not go in.
There's like puck luck, but then when you hit the post, when the whole goal is open, that's not luck.
Score on me.
Yeah. All right, Waddle's World coming up. We've got some Theo sound we want to play it for. Some Bears to get after as well, too, as they're practicing. And more like a real training camp finally going. So there's so much to get to. The always fun Waddle's World is next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports things. Look at aerobics in the air. So many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
As we enter...
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Da, 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 da. That's right. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends, our partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Chris, how you doing so far on the inaugural trip around the sun on Waddle and Sylvie?
Pretty good. Do you have to keep throwing rolled up towels at me in here? I mean,
you know what? I probably should stop doing that.
Is that part of the show hazing?
Gross. He's throwing towels at you?
No, I mean,
paper towels. Like, I went to the restroom. I washed my hands.
I wasn't going to out you on this. And I'm just saying it rolled up. Like, maybe you were trying to make a ball out of it. But if you want to out yourself on that, yeah, use towelettes.
Waddle is throwing in the middle of a pandemic his Yule's used wipe towels.
They're paper towels, and I threw them like at his waist or below his waist. So, I mean, thanks, Chris.
Other than that, everything's great. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Is Eric available tomorrow?
That's probably not the worst thing he's done today. So,
what is? Give me that.
What else did I do?
You were crawling under the desk here.
He's crawling under desks trying to get ready for his MRI to prepare himself.
I'm absolutely terrified.
He found a hockey stick and he came into the studio where
I knew where it was.
Where there are hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and he's shooting a mini football at us.
I can't trust you guys with anything.
And then finally, he shot it at me. I gotta go. This as the parent of the group, I go, this is mine now. So he couldn't shoot
it. I can't trust you guys with anything. You guys share everything.
Legitimately, minutes before you guys started at 2 o'clock, Sylvie, he comes over next to me and gets on all fours and starts crawling under the desk.
I did.
We ask, what's going on? He says, I'm trying to prepare myself for the MRI.
It's a welcome to the group, is what that is.
Well, I think you're going to be fine in this open MRI.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, this is,
welcome to the team, buddy.
Do I have to leave Sapphire on the stand?
Listen.
You're psyching yourself out.
Totally. I'm going to be so zannied up, it's going to be... It's going to be crazy. Thursday's show is up for grabs right now.
We're going to make Waddle Week shirts. I mean, we've got the Sylvie Strong shirts. The dude's not even able to get into an MRI machine. Waddle Week.
It's called a phobia, bro. I mean, like I'm claustrophobic. I mean, I'm not the toughest guy in the building. I get it.
You're going into an open MRI.
I know, and I'm still terrified.
Is that your only phobia?
No. I got lots.
What else you
got? But that's one of them.
Sylvie, do you have anything you're deathly afraid of?
Yes. I hate, like, all spiders and snakes. And
guy's gone through 5 rounds of chemo and yet...
Pukes. I have a puke phobia.
And spiders still leaving
with the
willies. I can't
clean up my kid's puke.
Yeah.
So who kills the spiders at home?
My wife.
I still do it, but I don't like it. I don't like the big bugs. There was once when I first started dating Allie, and there was one of these, like, have you ever seen these big stick bugs? It's a bug, but
like
it looks
a praying
like
a mantis.
Yeah, it's
but
even
they're brown and they look like a stick. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Is
not a praying mantis.
They're called stick bugs. Is that why?
I don't know what they were called, but it looked like an alien.
Okay.
And my wife texted me the picture. I was at the Final Word, maybe doing the show with you one day, Waddle. And this is when we were just dating. And she's like, this is on your wall. And I'm like, well, kill it. She's like, I'm not going to kill it. And then I came home and I just looked absolutely ridiculous, scared of this thing. But it looked like it came from a different planet.
It probably did.
And I'm not good with that.
You believe in stuff from other planets,
oh, sure.
Don't you?
Yeah. How do I know you're not from another planet?
I am from another planet. Ask anybody that's actually spent a lot of time with me.
True.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the SEC announces opening week schedule for football.
Oh!
7-game schedule for September 26. We'll see the conference 4 first-year head coaches get together, debuting against teams ranked in the top 10 of the preseason coaches pool.
What are you guys predicting? Is this going to happen?
Pain. I'm predicting, I'm going to predict. I think that the whole saliva thing that the NBA financed and the Yale scientists came up with was probably going to help the cause. The fact that North Carolina had to send all of their kids into timeout, and now the entire season is going to be, or the first semester is going to be all e-learning, is probably not a great thing. But I think it's going to happen. Guys, do you feel differently?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you guys are right. The saliva test and the ability that it's not only cheap to get and manufacture, but also it should be accessible for most people widely. And then also there are some people who are afraid of the swab being stuck up their nostrils.
I'm another one. That's another phobia for me, but I got through it.
So, like, if all you have to do is fill a little tube up with some spit, and then you'll know immediately whether or not you have COVID-19, I think that will help a lot of us.
Yeah, it will help tracing, contact tracing. Yes.
I'm still, I'll believe it when I see it.
Alabama's
with college
about to start
football.
Their first practice right now. Roll Tide.
But Sylvie, we are seeing it though in live sports.
Yeah.
The issues that baseball has had, they have been playing baseball this entire
correct.
Time.
They've been able
but
to
you're
work
not dealing
it.
With you're not dealing with like a busy campus. Have you seen, like, I saw one shot on a Georgia campus.
Oh,
it wasn't University of Georgia. It was a different university. But like,
Alabama.
These kids are going back and they're partying.
Well, but that's why I'm saying to you, if in fact you could, I mentioned this last week, if you could find a scenario where you keep the kids in an athletic dorm, they're going to have to maintain a good level of discipline. But like right now, North Carolina, they had, what did they have, Adam? They had 126 positive tests amongst a student body of 8,000.
135, I believe.
Okay,
yeah.
I was close.
But still.
But the point is 135 out of, I believe they're about an 8,000, they've got an enrollment of about 8,000.
We've seen it with baseball, though. It takes one. Guy on a 30-man roster
to
want to go play a hand at a casino.
Right, but then they find a way to make it work.
And they certainly, like, there is concern, Sylvie, but wasn't it a couple of weeks ago here in Chicago that we had photos of Wrigleyville where people were flooding
no doubt,
the bars?
Yeah. Right. Dalla was leading the charge.
Well, and no, he wasn't leading the charge. He was pointing out that there were all kinds of people out there. No, I know, but, like, where was the rise in numbers based on that? Here. You see what I'm saying? Like,
look, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. But I think that, like, I asked the question earlier to the guys. I was like, hey, did the Big Ten and the Pac-12, did they tap out a little bit early not knowing the – like, I've always said everyone should push things back because there will be advancements. And I think the saliva test that got FDA approval – is an example of that. So, look, I don't know what
the win was for the Big Ten to opt out when they did. I'm certainly open to them saying it's just not safe. But to do it, they didn't have to do it then.
Right. Right.
That's
no,
it.
I agree with that.
I still will believe it when I see it with college. I'm still not believing it like I am with the other sports.
Well, the schedule came out. Okay, so they're ready to go with some ball on September 26th.
Alabama, Missouri, Alabama minus 41.
Two SEC starters have, in fact, opted out of the football season, though. Cornerback Kerry Vincent Jr., who was second on LSU in interceptions last year, became the second Tiger player to opt out. And center Eli Johnson, who started all 12 games for Ole Miss in 2019, is going to sit out as well. So guys have decided that they're not going to play. Dez Bryant is set to work out for the Ravens. How about that?
He was with New Orleans last year, right? Then got hurt. I think, wasn't he signed briefly and then got hurt quickly, right?
Did he get hurt either in a, it was either in a preseason game or a camp. I don't think he played, or maybe he was hurt in practice and didn't even see the field.
Yes, that's what I think it was. So he's been trying to get back.
Cowboys tackle Gerald McCoy is set to have season-ending quad surgery. That's a tough break for them, obviously. He's a fantastic player that they added. Tua is practicing for the first time in pads with the Dolphins.
That's got to be exciting.
Washington has named Jason Wright the first black team president in NFL history. Jason was a standout player here at Northwestern, I believe, and played in the league for about seven seasons, so congratulations to
him. Went to business school, I believe, at the University of Chicago
as
well.
You are correct about that. Also, did you see more information from the Indians scolding their pitchers in a testy team meeting? During a team meeting this past Friday, multiple Indians players scolded pitchers Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac for their actions earlier this month. I believe there was one veteran who actually said, listen, if you, it was Oliver Perez, said he would opt out of the season if Clevinger and Plesac didn't, weren't optioned.
Boy, so. Zach Plesac, he's obviously Danny, who's a good friend of the show's nephew, and he's been a good pitcher. But boy, did he miss the mark on so many levels, did
he
not?
Yes.
He missed the mark on going out. He missed the mark on his blame instead of accountability. And he blamed the media. And then he went into that clubhouse. And boy, did that team hold him and Clevinger accountable. And they made him go. Yeah. You know, to the lower level. So, like, he was just doing a bunch of stuff except looking himself in the mirror.
Amen to that. The CFL has canceled their season, cites potential financial losses. The ESPN has officially announced their Monday Night Football booth of Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Brian Griese. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has started a petition for a Big Ten season. And before Abdallah's got some Cubs news for you, I wanted to tell you that at Giants training camp, their new head coach, Joe Judge, has got some issues with some of the guys. He's making them run laps for mistakes. I don't know if that is his best. Is that
not just the players, the coaches, too?
Right.
Wait,
right.
What's going on now?
Has coaches, not just players, running laps for mistakes. So the players that are making mistakes and coaches, they're all running laps. And Joe Judge, is this his attempt to be more like his former head coach, Bill Belichick? I don't know, but this has been a weird start to the Giants camp.
That's really weird.
Yeah,
I mean, that's Boylan weird.
Yeah, that is very weird.
That's Jim Boylan weird.
That is Jim Boylan weird. And before we take a break and come back with some nasty stuff, Abdallah, do you have a story on the Cubs real quick you were saying?
Steven Souza Jr., who was playing right field for Jason Hayward, has been scratched with a right hamstring tightness.
He was finally starting to hit.
And
he's got a hammy.
Ian Happ will now start in right field. And that injury update was brought to you by Rush University Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org.
Waddle, really quick, I know you mentioned it just in passing, but yes, the Louis Riddick and Steve Levy announcement today, and I know Greasy, but we don't know him well. We have a personal relationship with Louis Riddick, especially, and Steve Levy. Those guys are certainly, they were well-deserved to get that gig.
Yeah, very happy for them. Yeah, I think it'll be a good booth. I'm looking forward to it. I believe Herbie and Fowler will have the first NFL game.
Right.
And then the official Monday Night Football crew will do the second game. It will be what? Is it Texans? Or no, it's is it Texans and Chiefs? Who is it?
No, it's
sounds right, yes.
It's a Broncos game.
Oh, yeah, Texans Chiefs are the opener on Thursday night, so that's what,
right,
NBC?
Yes, good call. Okay. I will stop confusing everybody. Throw it to break. When we come back, I got the nuttiest story of the day and a little something we call Florida or Ohio. Hey, this hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruits. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. Low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hey, before I get to the nuttiest story of the day, there is some Bears news that Adam Abdallah would like to bring to everybody.
Yeah.
Bears. Ian Rappaport is reporting on his report that the Bears are working out quarterbacks what? Kevin Hogan and Kyle Sloter, S-L-O-T-E-R, so you determine how to pronounce that, along with running back C.J. Procise and wide receiver Rodney Adams. So two quarterbacks, a running back, and a wide receiver are working out for
C.J. Procise had a little wiggle to him. He was from Notre Dame, right? And then played at Seattle. Am I correct with that?
He did play at Seattle.
I think Chris Black had this Hogan confused with Chris Hogan, who's played wide receiver in every AFC East city.
Yeah, Kevin Hogan, Stanford.
Correct.
Quarterback.
Yes.
Did you guys mention, too, Ricky Prohl's son? Austin Prohl?
Oh, no. Was he...
He's trying out with the Bears
good.
As well.
He played his college ball at North Carolina.
Remember, we had Ricky on as Ricky was an assistant for Ron Rivera at one point.
Right.
And him and Austin, his son and Mitch, were roommates.
Correct. And Ricky actually quit coaching to go watch his son play the final
last year.
Yes.
Very clean dorm room.
Oh, yeah. You know it. You know, they'd vacuum all day.
Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty. I need some music for that going forward. If you know what, Chris, you and I can work on that when I'm not throwing the wet towels at you.
It does sound great. I definitely want to try it when I start drinking.
Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty.
That's good.
We're going to Maine for this one. Don't poop in Long Lake, neighboring towns are pleading. Boaters and swimmers flocking to Long Lake in southwestern Maine for safe outdoor recreation during the pandemic are boosting local businesses. But some people are leaving something unwanted behind.
You can't do that.
Multiple complaints about human poop on shorelines and on private property prompted the head of the Lakes Environmental Association to write to the Bridgeton Select Board in late July, asking it to install portable toilets near a popular boat launch.
You guys ever poop in a body of water?
No.
I have not. Have you?
How
I
did haven't. You do that?
I'm just asking. I'm
I
just
don't
asking
know.
Questions.
That would be difficult, I would think, while in water.
Mm. Think about we're in the middle of a pandemic.
I mean, just please let
explain.
It go, I think.
Really? I mean,
you just
like...
go.
We're in the middle of a pandemic.
I'm not saying there, right now.
There is nowhere, but this is what these people are doing. There is nowhere safe to go. We have a lake that we can escape and we could go boating, and people are screwing this thing up because they have to crap in the lake.
It kind of makes a lot of sense because bidets are a thing, right?
No, not your bidets.
No. You make your deposit in one receptacle. You stand over the bidet. Totally different. That is not an apples to apples comparison.
I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying I'm looking at the logical side of it. It's a clean entry, right?
Bring like a shopping
exit.
Bag.
It's a clean
and
exit.
Bring a
and
shopping
go in
bag,
there.
He says.
And
bring
then a shopping bag.
Yeah, well, it's better than going in the lake where we're all swimming.
What are you, a collector?
It's our one escape, and then throw it in the garbage.
I mean, go in the lake and then get it with the shopping bag and take it out.
Oh, yeah, you're cleaning up after your dog.
I'm wondering how often this is happening, because, like, I could see, like, somebody just, it happened once a month, possibly, but has it happened to the point where we're having to reach out to the local homeowners association?
You're just telling us that.
I know, this is my point. That's my point is,
that's why people are stupid.
When you increase your numbers, you certainly increase the number of people who do these types of things, but that still leaves no excuse for somebody to get off of their boat and go onto somebody's property to relieve themselves. I mean, that's just poor upbringing.
So
don't do
we're in a safe zone here, right, on the show?
Of course, always.
Two to six? Yeah. So we all, it's safe to assume, in a pool, we all go number one? Is that?
Nope. Wait. No, I don't in a pool.
In a pool? What?
No.
Have I done it?
Of
look
course.
At, look at Waddle's face.
Yes. Well, in your own pool,
do
I would hope, it, but no one else's.
Look at his face, do I do it all the time?
Yes.
No, I'll get out and go to the bathroom. What? I'm the only one that's honest here. Yes, I have peed in a pool.
I will go number one in an ocean.
Yes.
But I will not go in a pool.
You guys are out of your minds.
No, the waves carry it away. In a pool, it's just there.
And salt. Yeah, there's salt in the ocean.
I've got chlorine in my pool.
Yeah, I'm not.
You're going to tell me that your kids haven't peed in my pool before?
Well, they sometimes don't have the capacity. I have the capacity.
I don't either.
You have the capacity. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Stop peeing in people's pools.
It's my pool. I'll pee in it as often
as I want. Stop dumping in people's lakes.
Well, I'm not pooping in anyone's leg. Hey, you guys want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Crap in the lake.
Woman accused of spraying roach killer in husband's face and hiding cannabis in her breath.
Ooh.
In her bra?
In her breath. A woman is behind bars on domestic battery and drug charges after police say she sprayed roach killer in her husband's face.
That's the husband killer.
The streets. And saw a man on the sidewalk. The man's eyes were irritated. He appeared to have trouble breathing. The man told the officer that his wife sprayed Raid in his face after he came home intoxicated.
I gotta say, like, we used a lot of Raid when I was a kid, so I'm gonna go with just outside of Cincinnati. I'm gonna go with Dayton, Ohio.
This is crazy, and I think Florida is one of the capitals of the roach. So I'm going to say this is most certainly Florida.
I'm with Sylvie. It's Florida because of the roaches.
A woman accused of spraying roach killer in her husband's face and hiding cannabis in her breath in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, there you go. One of our home offices in Gainesville.
What?
We have multiple home offices throughout Florida. It's Waddle and Sylvie. So will Theo Epstein admit that he has whiffed on the leadoff spot in his tenure with the Cubs? You'll hear his answer in 2 minutes.